Log Talk Radio.
On the cross of contradictions, for I am the Lord. God did not say, I was the Lord, or I will be the Lord. He said, I am the Lord. That he that present tense, he that be. Remember, he is still your healer today. For he said, I am. And because he said, I am, he still is right now. And because he is, the word of God declares in verse 25 of Exodus 23, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. God declares, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Here the Lord declares it is his will to heal. For the word of God says, and I will take sickness away. I will take sickness away. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That's his will for you today. And the word of God goes on to declare in verse 26, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. God will fulfill the number of your days on earth. He will not allow sickness to take you home before its time. He will not allow disease to take you before its time. God will deliver and will heal. All you have to do is trust him and obey him and rely on him to do it. He promised. For he said, the number of thy days I will fulfill. Just remember, sickness is limited death, but health is unlimited life. Jesus promised you today life and that more abundantly. All you have to do is keep your eyes on him and the work of the cross that is done for you. The word of God declares in Numbers 21, beginning at verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this like bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, and they bit the people and much of his God. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. This is a mighty promise for the cross of Christ. The Lord declared in John 3,
praise God, praise God. You are listening to God's Favorites program coming to you live. I pray that you are enjoying that. He said, God said, I will take sickness from among you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love that passage that he brought out so beautifully. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we can stand on the word of God, believe the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us go to prayer. Praise God. Lord, thank you for this great and wonderful afternoon, God, that you have given us, oh God. Father God, we thank you, God, that you are healed. We thank you, God, that we can lean and depend on you, Lord God. We thank you for every heart that's coming on tonight, oh God, and that has already came on, God. We pray for this special service tonight, God. It's you, God. We give it all to you, God. Lord God, that oh God, that you are in the midst, that your people will hear, that your people will know the truth, and they be set free, God. We thank you, Father God, oh God, for the ones that's going to speak tonight, God. Speak them from with them, oh God, from the articles of heaven, God. Lord God, manifest yourself mightily in a mighty way tonight, God. We are depending upon you, Father God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you lost a loved one, son or daughter, to drugs or to the prison walls? May be slain by the bullet or whatever you may be going through tonight. God's favorites are reaching out to help heal your hurts tonight. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is willing to give you rest. Hallelujah. As the man of God just said, God has promises that you and I can stand upon and believe God for. Praise God. And there is nothing, nothing too hard for God to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we have a special program on God's favorites tonight, and I am going to turn it over into Sister Lola Vaughn's hand. They are in charge of the meeting tonight. And if you all have any questions, write them down. And when they finish speaking, you can ask questions tonight. Praise God. Are you there, Sister Lola Vaughn? Let me go back up.
Okay,
I'm here. Are you there? All right. Okay, I am going to turn it over to you, woman of God, that you may go forth and let God use you. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I just thank God for an opportunity to come before his presence and your presence tonight. And Father, we ask you to bless this line tonight and that every ear be open for you, for whatever you have to say, however you want to use us. We ask you to anoint us. And Father, for your glory, and we give you all the praises and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, I was just so delighted that Mother Vivian called and asked us to come and render a little message before a speaker, our guest tonight. They're all the way from, I want to say, Baltimore, Maryland, Mr. Robert Collins, and accompanying him is Dr. Zoe. They're both from Baltimore, Maryland. And I just want to say a few words before they come, spiritually first, and then we'll go into the medical side. But if you have your Bibles, I'm not going to be able to read the whole book of Numbers with you. But when we get off, I would love for you to go back and read the book of Numbers. And when you read the book of Numbers, this time get you a pencil and a pen. And I like to write down when God tell me something, or I like to write down something I want to go back and read again. But just write down the time that the people rebel against God. You'll see how they rebel against God. And when they rebelled against him, write down the plague that he put upon them. You know, and it's a plague of something, you know, for something they do. Maybe they're rebelling against God. But just highlight the word plague, and then you can go back and write it down when you get through. But the reason why God sent plagues for them, it wasn't for him to reward them for their great doing or their accomplishment, but he sent the plague every time when people were disobedient and they didn't want to obey God. But now in 2 Corinthians, when Solomon finished building the temple, God appeared to him at night and he told him, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And what I'm saying tonight is sometimes, you know, we look for God to heal our bodies, God to take away the plague, God to do this, but it's some things that we have to do. And we know faith without works is dead. So when they come before us, we're not telling you that, you know, you don't have to go see your physician, you just need to listen to Dr. Zoe and all that. We're not telling you none of that tonight, but all we want to do tonight is just enlighten you in the Word of God and enlighten you in what's going on with this virus, because a lot of time we hear a lot of things, a lot of myths and what's going on. But I'm going to talk tonight in 1 Corinthians, that's what my scripture is tonight, is 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 23rd verse. And we're just going to talk about whatever. That's the word I want to just focus on in a few, just give me 3 or 4 minutes, whatever. So 1 Corinthians 10 and 23, and I'm going to read it to you. If you don't mind, let me get my glasses. 1 Corinthians 10 and 23, it says, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. And when you read that scripture, you have the right, whatever you decide to do, you just have to ask yourself, is this beneficial? Is it constructive? Is this the right thing to do? Because in America, you know, we have so much liberty. We can talk pretty much about anything or whatever we want to talk about. We can do whatever we want to do. But is it beneficial for ourselves, and not only for ourselves, but for everyone else around us? And so the 24th verse says, not one should seek their own good, but the good of others. So we're not just in this for ourselves, but we're in here, we're coming today, and I ask them to come not only to help us, but help everyone that want to come to the line. So we're in this all together. And the doctor's trying to figure out clues and things that they can do to help. But, you know, with this epidemic going on, it's just a lot of stuff going out there that's not true, and some of it is true, some of it is not. But we just have to be prayerful, and we just have to really seek God in everything that we do. And, you know, but it says we are not liberty. You know, we can take the COVID if we want to, the vaccination, and we don't have to. And we're not asking the couple to come and just demand you to take the COVID and you got to do this and all that. We just want them to give their experiences of what they've been through. My godson has told me how many people he done seen died. He had to zip up body bags. They work in the ER. They work in the ICU room. And so they have firsthand experience more than I do. So I can't really tell you what they say. But if you hear from their mouth, then that's the best witness that you can hear when a person tell you what they see themselves. So I just want to just invite them to the line. And I just want to remind you to seek God first in whatever decision you make. Because Matthew 6, and I think 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, and all these things will be added unto you. So no matter what we do, even when I got ready to take my vaccination shot, I was seeking God. I asked God, Lord, is this for me to do? And you have to do the same thing, because everybody's body is not the same. I have heard preachers say that I couldn't take it because I had surgery. They went to their doctor. The doctor told them, no, not right now. But in the time come, when it's for you to take, God will preserve us, he will keep us, but we have no fear that God is on our side. So right now, I'm going to turn it in the hands of Brother Collins, Robert Collins. We just thank you for coming. We appreciate you and Dr. Zoe for taking out time tonight to talk and teach us what you know about this vaccination shot. Thank you at this time. We're in your hands.
What number are they on?
Okay, I told them to hit *1, but let's see. Let me pull a number up just in case. The number is the last 4 digits.
To do it, just press 1 on their phone.
Okay, press 1, okay.
What's their area
code?
Did
they press? Okay, let me call them. They it's 410. Let me try to call them.
I see them. I see the hand up. Okay, I see them. Okay, press 1.
All right. All right.
All right.
You.
And that's Dr.
This
Zoe.
This is Robert Collins.
Dr. Robert Collins and Dr. Zoe.
So I'm an RN.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
We hear you. Uh-huh.
Okay, good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be able to join you all this evening. My name is Robert Collins. I am a registered nurse. I work in the ICU here in Maryland. And I have the privilege of caring for people, just like everyone else. Life was turned upside down a couple of years ago when this virus that came out of nowhere that we knew very little about came to the forefront. We had to face it on a daily basis. Speaking to what Ms. Vaughn just said, I unfortunately have gotten to see firsthand every day at work how this virus just ravages the bodies of people that it infects. And I have also unfortunately had to be by the bedside with people as they took their final breaths, as their family could not come to the hospital, only got the opportunity to say goodbye via FaceTime on an iPad. And I have had to see those families cry from losing a loved one. But thank God we've gotten to a place, you know, where there's been a vaccination that's been developed that largely can prevent severe illness and the need for hospitalization. As Yvonne stated, you know, people have to make whatever decision that they feel is best for them. However, to me, knowing that we have tools and resources available to us that could actually help to protect us and protect our families gives me a greater sense of comfort. I must say, you know, speaking to what Ms. Vonda spoke about, you know, many people have different opinions on vaccination. You know, I've heard some people say that there are microchips in the vaccine. I've heard some people say that getting the vaccine is going to give you COVID and then you're going to infect other people. I've heard many myths, things that are not true. And so we come tonight in order to be able to present facts, factual answers, and to dispel some of the myths about the vaccination. I want to go back into my daily work. We still have an influx of patients that are being admitted to the hospital for COVID, and the vast majority of them are unvaccinated. And to see people fighting to breathe, something that we take for granted because it comes effortlessly, but to see them fight just to take one breath and to understand how the COVID pneumonia is just infecting their lungs, and you know, depending on how severe the disease is, especially if you end up in the ICU with me, it could actually be affecting multiple body organ systems. It could affect the kidneys. It could affect the brain. It could affect the lung, the heart. You know, we have to put patients on medications to maintain their blood pressure with all those vasopressors. You know, they have to get intubated and be put on a ventilator. And unfortunately, you know, quite often once somebody has to go on the ventilator, it's not very often that they are able to come off. We do have some success stories with being able to get them off. It's gotten better in time. However, many people are still left with long-term residual effects after having been infected with COVID. And having said that, I want to bring Dr. Zoe in to be able to give more the detailed medical part. Zoe, I mean, it's in your hands. Dr. Zoe? Hello?
Let me see what her number is. Okay. I gotcha.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Dr. Zoe. I am a board-certified family medicine physician. I see patients of all ages, newborn to my oldest patient right now is 97 years old. I also work in our part-time urgent care clinic, seeing more acute visits, and I've been doing this for the past 10 years. So I am seeing things now with the past 2 years of this pandemic that I've never seen before in practice. As Nurse Collins was mentioning, COVID has really upended the way that we practice medicine and the priority of patients who get care. And so, unfortunately, we have seen quite a shift in being able to provide routine, you know, regular medical care to patients because COVID patients seem to take the priority. So the one thing that I really think is just important to speak on tonight is helping people understand the importance of preventative care as a whole and explain that the COVID vaccine is part of your wellness and preventative care. So when people think about going to their medical doctor for a routine checkup, it's common that your doctor may ask you, you know, have you gotten your flu shot this year? Have you gotten your pneumonia vaccine if you're an older or at-risk individual? And now part of that line of questioning includes, have you gotten your COVID vaccine? And for a variety of reasons, we know that the COVID vaccine some people are hesitant to get vaccinated. So I try to meet my patients where they are and just explain to them the importance of vaccination in the current state of affairs. As Nurse Collins mentioned, because we know that the coronavirus is unfortunately here to stay, and it's going to be a part of our, you know, life for, you know, the next several decades going forward, it really is important that we take all precaution necessary to protect ourselves and protect our loved ones. So the COVID vaccine, while it was developed very quickly, it still has all of the evidence that is needed to say that it is a safe and effective vaccine. One of the questions that I got most often from my patients is, well, how do we know that it really works? Well, we have lots of evidence from the clinical and medical trials initially, but now what I'm seeing in practice on a day-to-day basis mirrors what Nurse Collins mentioned about what he's seeing in the hospital, in that the COVID vaccine we know from medical trials is about 94% effective, and that same information is being carried over to real life, in that most people that are vaccinated are better off protected against getting a COVID infection. But now with new variants, Omicron being the predominant variant in most states, we know that the vaccine protects against that, but maybe not to as a high of degree as maybe the Delta variant per se. But that being said, the people that I'm seeing regularly who happen to have been vaccinated and even gotten their COVID booster tend to have very, very mild symptoms, thereby preventing them from having to go to the hospital or to require being on a ventilator and being really, really sick. So one of the common things that people will say is, well, does the vaccine work? I mean, I could still get an infection. I could still get COVID even if I get the vaccine. And while that is true, the goal of the vaccine was never to prevent you from getting COVID. The goal of the vaccine was to make it so that your symptoms were much more mild, less severe, so that you wouldn't end up getting really sick and being needed, you know, to go to the hospital or end up in the ICU. So that's one important thing that I want people to keep in mind, especially if you're kind of on the fence about getting vaccinated. That's just something to really kind of hold on to. The other thing is that people across the board who've gotten their vaccine or have now since gotten their booster data has shown that the side effects of the vaccine are very, very minimal. There aren't any major side effects to speak of from the vaccine at all. With any vaccine, whether it be the flu shot or your pneumonia vaccine, your arm's going to be sore. You might feel a little tired. You may even get a mild headache after vaccination. But by and large, most people have those symptoms for a few hours, maybe even a couple of days, and after that, the symptoms resolve on their own. So we do now have enough information from the trials and from now having, you know, millions of people worldwide get the vaccine that the vaccine is safe and it is effective. So it does what we really intended it to do, to keep people healthy and keep people out of the hospital. I did have a patient last week ask me, well, I don't think it's right for people to, you know, tell me what I should or shouldn't do for my own body. And I helped this particular patient to see the bigger picture, in that you can imagine maybe a loved one that you have, someone you know in your family or a friend that may have, God forbid, fallen, broken a hip, or had a heart attack, something that required a non-COVID-related hospitalization. But we're in such a time now where the numbers are so high that even the people that need routine medical care, maybe emergency care for things, are being denied access to health care in the hospital or even in their doctor's office. And patients get frustrated. Why is that? Why can't I be seen for my regular checkups? And it's because the burden on the healthcare system as a whole is so high because the focus has been shifted to care for COVID patients. And as Nurse Collins mentioned, it doesn't have to be that way now. You know, in the beginning of the pandemic, we didn't have any resources available to us. We didn't have medications. We didn't have the vaccine. So we were really in kind of survival mode, as some may say. But now we're so many years into this, and thank God we have the vaccine available, that we have the ability to really keep most people healthy. And if they get COVID, they can recover at home. So that frees up lots of space and lots of available beds in the hospital for those people who need to be seen for non-COVID related illnesses. So it's important to keep in mind that we're not just recommending vaccination for those that qualify, really, just because we want to force somebody to do something. It really is a bigger picture about making sure that when their need arises for somebody to seek emergency care, that they're not turned away from the hospital because of a lack of available staff or a lack of available space for that person, because those resources are being focused on the COVID patients. But rather, we want to be able to continue providing good medical care to everyone. And without people getting their vaccine, it makes it impossible to be able to provide that good care across the board. So those were the few points that I just thought were important to mention as it relates to the vaccine. If there are anyone on the line that may have questions specifically about the vaccine, I'd be more than happy to answer those.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Zoe. And if there is someone that have a question, you may press 1 on your phone to ask either one a question at this time. If you have a question, press 1 on your phone so that we can answer your question. Okay, go ahead, 913, go ahead with your question.
My question is, has it been determined the frequency that we would need to get or people would need to get a booster shot?
That is a very good question. And no, we have not yet determined the frequency of boosting and how often that would need to be done. As it stands right now, there is only a maximum of 4 doses given. That fourth dose, or some people might say a second booster, if you will, is recommended for the subset of the population or people who are at very, very high risk. So people who may have cancer and are actively undergoing chemotherapy, or for people who are very elderly and are taking medications that may suppress their immune system. So those people, and some of those people may have already gotten their fourth shot or a second booster. But one thing to keep in mind, as many viruses do, they continue to mutate. And as they mutate or change over time, then the vaccines that we give have to change with the virus. For example, a lot of people may not know, but if you take your annual flu shot, you don't get the same flu shot every year. Scientists look at what they predict the main strain of influenza will be in the fall from the summer before. So they're trying to anticipate what that strain may be and try to match the vaccine to cover whatever flu may hit in flu season, cold and flu season. So that changes year to year. And at best, when they're able to match that vaccine to the predicted strain, it's only 55% effective, which as vaccines go is about as good as it usually gets, 55 to 60% effective. But with the COVID vaccine and the first wave, the vaccine in clinical trials came out at 94% effective, which is really fantastic in terms of protecting against severe illness. But as COVID changes, and now we've gotten our fourth major wave and our fourth major strain of the virus now with Omicron, we're seeing that the vaccine we currently have may not be as effective. So it's possible that as the virus continues to change over time, maybe this summer or into the fall, that the vaccine manufacturers may have to come up with a better vaccine to cover against a possible newer variant. So there is a potential for requiring another booster or another dose late summer or early fall, depending on how the virus plays out through the earlier part of this year. One other thing that's important to keep in mind, some of you guys may remember back to 2009, 2010, there was a small outbreak of swine flu in the United States, and it affected a lot of younger people in their 20s. Swine flu was, of course, not to the scale that the COVID pandemic has been, but it was pretty significant at that time, and we did not have a vaccine against swine flu back then. Well, they were able, scientists were able to study that virus very closely, and now swine flu is included in your regular flu shot. A lot of people don't know that. They think they're going in for the flu shot to get protected against influenza strain A or strain B, but the flu shot you get year by year is actually what we call a quadrivalent flu vaccine. It protects against influenza A and B. It also protects you against H1N1 and H3B2, which is swine flu. So it's possible that in years to come, the COVID vaccine may be lumped into that, and you'll get one shot in the fall that would hopefully protect you against all of those viral strains throughout the year. So to answer your question, which is a great question, we don't yet know, but it's likely that we will require some form of booster or maybe an annual shot to protect us against COVID as things change.
Anything else, Ms. Starks? Ms. Starks?
Thank
you. Is that all you? Okay. When this virus came out, they didn't know that we were going to need a booster shot?
No, they did not. When the virus first came out, we really did not know the extent. The epidemiologists and the experts, infectious disease doctors, really had no idea the scale to which this pandemic would go. I think most people thought at worst it would be like the Ebola outbreak in Africa, which was a big pandemic but was really not global. But what we could not predict at that time is how easily it would spread one person to another. There's a term we use in medicine that tells us basically how infectious a particular virus or bacterial infection is, right? We think about, for those of you folks who are more seasoned than I, you remember probably measles and how infectious that was in your childhood, or even polio, right, in the 1970s. So there are a lot of other diseases that we knew then that were spreading very rapidly. What we did not know at the beginning of 2020 is how quickly and how infectious COVID would be, and yet how quickly the virus would mutate or change to continue to infect people on such a large scale. And because of that, I think is the reason why we were so, so to speak, behind the curve in being able to come up with a game plan on how to approach it, which is why we told people stay home, because we really did not know what we were dealing with at that time. And I don't think even the best of the experts would have imagined that we would still be seeing death in the scale, you know, the rate of death that we are still continuing to see. And that's the piece that we're trying to, you know, alert people on, is that pre-vaccine, we really couldn't, we knew it was bad, but we couldn't do anything about it. You had to stay home because we didn't know how severe things are. Well, as time's gone on, we've gotten more information. And with that information, and thank God a vaccine, we've now been able to save hundreds of thousands of lives. I guarantee that if we had not had the vaccine developed and rolled out to people, our death rate, which in this country now is approaching 900,000 Americans, but we would be well over a million at this point if we had not had the vaccine roll out as quickly as it did and get people on board. We'd be over a million just in this country alone, right? And we think about the Lord and what he created and the entire earth. The Lord cares about all people groups of all nations. Mm-hmm. And if in just this country alone, we've seen nearly a million people die, you can imagine what that looks like on a global scale, right, in all the other continents and countries of the world. So, mm-hmm. We really didn't anticipate it getting to this scale. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else have a question? You may press 1 if you have a question at this time. Press 1 on your phone if you have a question. Are this virus some type of the flu, or is it totally different?
That's an excellent question. So the virus would be similar to the flu in that it's a virus. That is probably the only two similarities that you could say that links these two things together, that influenza A or flu A, flu B that we typically see year by year is similar to coronavirus and that they're both viruses. But that's probably the only similarity we could say about these two. The major difference between influenza A and B and coronavirus is how it affects the body. And that is the part that we're still uncovering. When we look at the information of the number of people who die from influenza A and B each year, it is such a small number in comparison to the number of people that have died from COVID in the past year or even 2 years. And scientists are trying to figure out why. Why is coronavirus so much scarier, so much more dangerous, and so much more fatal as compared to regular influenza? Part of it may be because it's a newer virus, but the other theory that they're still looking at is, again, how it impacts the body. What we've seen so far with coronavirus is that it causes a cascade of inflammation to a level that we have never seen with any other viral infection before. The reason why it can be so dangerous, why people who get COVID, especially those that are unvaccinated, are at greater risk of dying. Pathology, the doctors who look at people after they've passed away, evaluate their brain, their blood vessels, their heart, their lungs, and what those scientists are finding, those doctors are finding, is that there's inflammation everywhere in the body after someone has died from a COVID infection. That's why people who have a COVID infection are at greater risk for having heart attacks, stroke, bleeding in the brain, lung clots, blood clots in the lung, blood clots in the leg. Even for young, healthy people that don't have any underlying or pre-existing health conditions, they're still seeing those kinds of things in those people. And we can't yet figure out why that is. We don't understand all of the reasons why that is the way it is. So it is very different than the flu in the nature of not only how it spread in terms of it being so much more contagious, but also in what it does to the body if someone were to contract it and not be vaccinated. And that's kind of, I guess, one other point to make is that people oftentimes don't understand how vaccines work, which I think is the reason why a lot of people are hesitant. And I would be too if I didn't understand the way it works, but hesitant to get the vaccine because they don't understand what is it doing to my body? How is it working? But any vaccine given, whether it's, you know, chickenpox vaccine we give to little kids or your polio shot that you get in childhood, the vaccine's goal is to cause the body to make antibodies. Antibodies are those infection-fighting cells, those immune cells, so that later on down the road, after you've been vaccinated, if you come in contact with someone that's carrying that virus, the body doesn't get a taste of that virus and go, oh, no, I don't know what to do with it, and then make you really sick. The body says, oh, I've seen this virus before in my vaccine. And it already has those antibodies, those infection-fighting cells, ready to fight off the virus. So that's how vaccines work. And the COVID vaccine is no different. It allows the body to make antibodies, make those cells to fight off infection should and when and if you come in contact with the virus. The COVID virus is much more contagious. It's much more fatal. We don't understand all the reasons why. But what we do gather so far is that it causes a series of inflammation in various parts of the body that cannot be reversed. And so that's why you may have seen or heard people that had COVID maybe a year ago, maybe just 6 months ago, maybe last month, that say, I'm still tired. I still have brain fog. I'm not as sharp as I used to be. My body still hurts. I still have a headache. We call those long-haul COVID symptoms. We still see people months or even years later still having symptoms of when they were sick with COVID, and that's because the ongoing inflammation that the virus causes. We don't see that same thing with regular influenza A or B. So I hope that answers your question.
Go for it, 278.
Yeah, my name is Ms. Brenda. I'm glad that you know that you came on to tell us about the booster shot, because I was a little confused about it, but now I do understand. I've taken my COVID, the first and second shot, and I took taking the regular flu shot. And I've asked the Lord, I said, Lord, give me a sign to let me know to go take this shot. So, there you go, you know. And I came on the line and, you know, everyone did, you know, Dr. Collins and you, you know, talking about the booster shot and its situation. You know, a lot of people have it confused. Well, you know, far as the, you know, with the booster shot, that you get sick but not as sick, and you wouldn't have to be hospitalized. So now I understand, and I'm going to take the booster shot.
Thank you, Ms. Brenda. Thank you for sharing that. I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. 281. Go forth.
Hi. Good evening, Dr. Zoe and Brother Robert. This is Minister Gwendolyn Bernardo. And good evening to you, Pastor George, and all of you on the line. I just kind of want to basically to another subject, if it's okay, as it relates to environmental issues such as mold being in buildings with our school children and even with some of the elderly that may be living in homes or apartments where mold is evident. My question is, if one is in an area where mold exists and they have been there for a significant amount of time and they're breathing in these areas, is it more likely that they may have some health challenges, some serious health challenges where some of these places where people live, particularly the elderly, and even in our schools where they would be spending a lot of time or even living there, is my question.
Yes, that is true, that if any person, young or old, is living or visiting a place that is known to have a substantial amount of mold, it can cause not just environmental allergy issues, but it can also cause respiratory problems where young or old may be diagnosed with something called reactive airway disease. The other name for that is asthma of various stages. And that may, the only contributing factor or the cause may just be that they are exposed to mold. So yes, that is true. Allergies, asthma, lung or breathing problems, chronic coughing, can certainly contribute to or be the cause of respiratory issues if they're exposed to mold.
Thank you so much for answering that for me.
You're welcome.
Minister Janice, go forth. 318. Minister Janice?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. And I just want to say I appreciate this information, and I really appreciate the time that the doctors are giving just to inform us, because we really need to be more informed of the type of vaccines mm-hmm. that are available and what we could do to help ourselves and our communities. My question is, the people who have had COVID, and I have been around people who they're now what they consider to be better, but the ones that I have been around, I noticed they are not as active. They're not as sharp as they used to be. And I see all these things that, it's a result from the COVID. And so I was listening to when the doctor was saying that the inflammation that is in the body that can cause this. So what I wanted to know was, what can they get? Are the doctors in the community aware that the person that had the COVID, now they need to have something to remove the inflammation, or will the inflammation ever leave their body, or how does this work?
That's an excellent question. So the truth is we don't know yet. There are a few, and I do mean a few, centers across the United States that are studying patients with long-haul COVID syndrome. That's what it's called. People who have lingering symptoms from a COVID infection, whether their infection was a month ago or a year ago. And so with that, those programs, those studies, all the different symptoms that patients are still having and trying to figure out if there's anything that can be done. Most patients with long-haul COVID symptoms will gradually get better. But depending on their other underlying health conditions, their progress or their road to recovery may be a few weeks. For others, it has been several months. I personally now am taking care of 4 long-haul COVID patients. My total patient panel is over 2,000 here in my practice in Maryland. But I have 4 that have long-haul COVID symptoms, and they're all people under the age of 50. None of them are over 50, so we're talking about young folks. And they have symptoms varying. The females have complained about ongoing hair loss, whereas other people have complained about persistent shortness of breath to the point that they can't go to their home and walk up a flight of stairs to their bedroom without huffing and puffing. There are some people that have not yet returned to work because they have mental fog. They just feel like they can't think clearly. They just feel fuzzy-brained. It's the way they've described it to me. So what we're doing now is really targeting our treatment for these long-haul COVID symptoms and this inflammation based on the specific symptom. There isn't a pill. There isn't an antiviral. There isn't any sort of medical therapy that can be done overall. But we target the treatment based on what they're complaining about. So for the 2 of my patients who have ongoing respiratory problems, they're coughing, they're short of breath, we're treating them with inhalers, like you would somebody who had been, you know, a smoker or an asthmatic. For the patients who are brain fog, they're seeing a neurologist, and the neurology team is the brain doctors are trying to figure out what we can do from a brain standpoint. Some of them have ended up on blood thinners like aspirin because they're worried about maybe the patient having a stroke. Others are just being monitored by the doctor. They're working part-time as opposed to full-time, maybe because they're not able to return to work and work as they were before the infection. So it's a great question, but we don't have all the answers. There's still just so much that we've yet to learn about how the virus impacts people. And that brings up a good point. I know a lot of people have said to me, well, I kind of want to wait and see before I get my vaccine. I want to give it more time and see, you know, what happens. And I certainly understand that. I tell people you want to be informed and make an informed decision. But the problem with that mentality is that we don't know what may happen down the road with long-haul COVID. But we do know how the vaccine has impacted millions of people across the globe. And if we're hedging bets here, the benefit of the vaccine outweighs any side effects, right? It's more beneficial to get vaccinated and have some protection today than to hedge our bets and say, well, I'll wait to see what happens, God forbid, get COVID and then pass away, right? Never having had a chance to see what tomorrow may hold. So I definitely have told people that the vaccine benefit outweighs the risk because we know what can happen in the short term, at least, right, in the 2 years following a vaccination. We don't yet know what could happen 2 years after getting COVID because some people are still not even back to work. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. But, yeah, we're treating just as we find. There isn't anything that we've definitively been able to identify that will rid the body of inflammation. The body does have a natural ability to kind of get better slowly but surely on its own, but it just takes time for most people.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else? Do press 1. If you have a question for Dr. Zoe, press 1 on your phone, and she'll be glad to answer your question. Dr. Zoe, why does it attack a whole family sometimes and then sometimes it doesn't?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. We don't really know the reason why it spreads the way it does. We did see in the early days with Delta especially, there were a lot of families that lived in multi-generational households. So you had grandma and grandpa, you had mom and dad, you had children. And in those situations where there's many generations living under one roof, let's say there was a school-age child at school around other children, they may have been the vector to bring that virus into the home. And, of course, kissing and hugging grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, it spread throughout the entire family. But there were some instances where certain people in the home never got COVID. Other people did, and they never got COVID. Mm-hmm. And the two theories behind that is, one, the person may have been an asymptomatic carrier. That means that they may have had COVID but had no symptoms of COVID whatsoever. So they never tested themselves or they never got tested because they said, I feel fine. So-and-so is sick with a fever. So-and-so, you know, my husband's got the cough. My daughter's got the fever, but I feel fine. And so because they felt fine, they never got tested. But they could have been a carrier all along. And therein lies the mystery of the virus. Why is it that some people were sick, really sick? Why did some older people survive and some younger people die, right? That doesn't make sense. Usually you see it the other way around. That's kind of the mystery, so to speak, behind the COVID virus. So one theory is maybe somebody in the household was an asymptomatic carrier. That's why they never got tested. They didn't know they had it. Another theory is, or possibility rather, is that they had COVID before they knew we knew what COVID was. I remember from November of 2019 through January of 2020, my particular office, my medical practice, saw a huge surge of flu-like cases. We had people coming in left, right, and center. I got off a cruise and, you know, around Christmas time. I was at my family for Thanksgiving, and they were coming in really, really sick. But every time we tested them for strep or RSV, which is another viral infection, or flu A or B, all the tests were negative. And we kept scratching our head going, why? This is just, it looks like the flu. They're sicker than they would be with the flu. But we just told them, guess what? It's a bad strain of the flu. And they went on their way. It was only until March 12th that we recognized, whoops, this is actually coronavirus. So there is the possibility there that in the early stages, some people that may have gotten sick didn't spread it to their, you know, or they, you know, had family members that were sick with COVID in their home, but they did not get sick. It's possible they had some lingering immunity from that prior infection. And so that's why they weren't, you know, sick like some of their other family members who may not have been exposed to the virus. But that being said, people can get COVID, vaccinated or unvaccinated, but those that are unvaccinated that say, well, I've got natural immunity. I'm fine. I'm covered now. I had it and I'm good. I can't get it again. We know that's not true. People can get COVID again and again. As the virus mutates, you can get a different strain of the virus and still get sick. So natural immunity does happen. There's a certain cell line in our body, certain line of cells that does help give us immunity, but it's short term. From all the data we've seen, that immunity lasts about 30 days and is completely gone by 90 days. So we do tell patients, if you get COVID, it doesn't mean you can't go back and get a booster if you haven't had your booster yet. If you've never been vaccinated and you get COVID, it doesn't mean you can't go and get vaccinated. In fact, you should. But you want to keep in mind that your natural immunity is not going to last forever. By that third month, that natural immunity is virtually gone.
Anybody else have a question, please? This time, do press 1 on your phone before we let her go. Press 1. Dr. Zoe, you were saying that it's important that we test ourselves whether we feel good or not, huh? We need to just continue to test ourselves.
Well, at this point, testing, if you are vaccinated and boosted, it's not necessary to do it on a regular basis unless you may be a healthcare worker, your employer requires it, or I say if you're traveling or you're hosting anybody. So if you were having a gathering or, you know, having people to your home in a large group and you're not sure of who may be vaccinated or not, I think it's a good idea before anybody gathers together in a group setting, if you're going to go, of course, without a mask, to do that test, to make sure that you don't have someone unknowingly bringing infection into your family or into your home, into that group activity. So under certain circumstances, it would be a good idea to test. But for the average person in the population, testing is not necessary on a regular basis if you do not have symptoms.
The reason I asked that, they said they were sending out tests to everybody to test, and I was wondering about how often. Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Sister David. Dr. Zora, I had the Johnson & Johnson shot, and I also had on November the 5th, I had my booster. And so I was just wondering, because they're talking about the Pfizer and the Moderna, I'm just wondering if I'm safe.
Which vaccine did you get for your booster?
The Johnson & Johnson.
Okay. So, yes, you are considered protected. The difference between the Johnson & Johnson and the Pfizer and Moderna is how long it takes the body to be fully protected. So because the Johnson & Johnson vaccine as a first dose was just one shot instead of two, it takes the body a longer time to make antibodies to get you protected. So whereas if somebody had the Moderna or the Moderna or Pfizer vaccine, their protection after their booster is considered immediate. The Johnson & Johnson booster is going to take several weeks before you're fully protected. Now, if you got that booster in November, we're in January now, you're protected. If your primary doctor, if your primary care doctor says you need an additional shot because of any underlying health conditions, they should be the one to let you know.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I feel better because I sure wasn't feeling too well over it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Praise God. Is there anybody else? Anybody else have a question at this time? Any of you all that already had asked a question, do you have a question at this time before we close out?
Yes.
Praise God. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ms. Brenda again. I wanted to know, I took the first and second in the regular flu shot. The booster shot, I normally go to the pharmacy and get it done. But this time, it's kind of awkward for me to go. Because I went in our vehicle, and our vehicle is gone. I want to know, is it possible, do I have to call my insurance or do I have to talk to my doctor to let them know that I'm unable to go to the place where I normally get my shot and let them know through my insurance or what? I'm trying to, figure this out.
So you don't have to notify your insurance about your COVID booster because it's free. It's covered by your insurance. So usually if you go to the pharmacy, all they're going to ask for, and they may not ask, but if you have an insurance card, you can provide it. But an insurance card is not required to get the booster. And you don't have to notify your primary care doctor either. So if you're unable to access, get to the location you normally do, but there may be someplace closer or easier for you, you can get your booster anywhere that they're giving out a booster vaccine. It doesn't have to be at that same location or the same place.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that I'm partially blind, and I'm just trying to, make it more convenient for me, where, they can come to the house.
To you, okay,
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So in that case, then I would call your primary care doctor and find out which centers in your area are doing that. There are places that are doing vaccine, giving out boosters door-to-door. So it would just be a matter of maybe asking your doctor who in the area is providing that service, and they can come to you so you can get your booster at home.
Additionally, you could also consider calling your local health department, and if your doctor doesn't provide you with adequate resources, your health department should be able to direct you to someone that can come to your home.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
It's great.
Vivian, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I have a question. I worked in in the ICU a lot, and he was saying how he'd be the last one to see people leave this world. I heard that by some people having the booster shot and some of them are not, will it become a decision on you all behalf of who you need to work on in trying to save their life if it became between, if it was caught between two decisions, a decision between a person that have the shot and have not? Would you take the ventilation and give it to the person that have the shot? Would, is it coming to a point at that, you know, in the future, you think?
So depending on some areas where you are in the country and what the infection rates are, those hard decisions are having to be made at some facilities, not all.
Right.
And I say that it's for a variety of reasons. Number one, with the system being overwhelmed with patients coming in that are infected, you know, and then on top of that, many hospitals are not adequately staffed with doctors and nurses. Some have chosen to leave the profession, retire. Others have gotten COVID. Others have gone and left the area entirely. You have major areas and regions in this country that are really struggling right now. So having said that, I would encourage everyone to get vaccinated. In addition, you know, I also want to say this. It's also very, very, very important that you get the best mask that you can. And if you only have a regular face mask, consider wearing two to better protect you from getting COVID, in addition to your vaccination. And it's just an additional tool.
Well, thank you, Brother Robert Collins, and thank you, Dr. Zoe, for coming on and giving us wonderful information. We know that God is clean. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants us to be knowledgeable. He said, I will not have you ignorant. Praise God. So I thank God for what he does for his people to help us to be what he wants us to be. Praise God. I thank God for all of you that have come on tonight to make this program a success. Thank you for all your questions. Thank God for all the answers that we have gotten tonight. And may the Lord bless and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. And may he lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. I'm asking that each one of you would bless me by coming on next Sunday at the same time, 7 p.m. on our favorite program, where we show love, pray for one another, love up on one another. Love, 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 love. Please come back next time and be with us, okay? Good night now. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Amen. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Very informative.
Good night.
Very informative.
Maybe we'll come back again some other time.
Yes. Amen.